A reading from the book of Genesis. God put Abraham to the test. He called to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son Isaac, your only one whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him up as a burnt offering on a height that I will point out to you." Early the next morning, Abraham saddled his donkey, took with him his son Isaac and two of his servants as well, and with the wood that he had cut for the burnt offering, set out for the place of which God had told him. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Next, he tied up his son Isaac and put him on top of the wood on the altar. Then he reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the Lord's messenger called to him from the heavens, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he answered. "Do not lay your hand on the boy," said the messenger. "Do not do the least thing to him. I know now how devoted you are to God, since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son." When I was a child, there was a display at our local science museum that I enjoyed very much. It's going to be hard to describe orally. It'd be much easier if I could show you a picture, so bear with me here. It was a frame with thousands of metal pins suspended in it, and you could approach it from the bottom and push your hand into the pins, and slowly on the other side, the pins would rise like a topographical map in the shape of your hand. Or you could stick your face into it, and slowly on the other side, the pins would move forward to create an impression of your face. I'm hoping that you have seen such a thing before in your life and are able to visualize it, because I am sure that my description does not do it justice. Anyway, the board of movable pins is what always comes to mind when I think of stories like the one that we read today from the Old Testament. These treasured ancient stories come from a very early time in Israel's history, in which they were just coming to know the faith of the one true God who had beckoned their ancestor Abraham out from Ur to the land of Canaan to slowly make the divine self known. It's as if God, slowly in time, pressed the divine countenance into the pinboard of history and let the divine face become more and more and more clear. But in these most ancient of stories, we have just the faintest trace of God's face pushing through. We can't see it clearly yet, and it's hard to tell what that face will look like when it fully emerges. At this early stage in the game, it's pretty hard to discern. It looks a lot like other faces. It's hard to tell yet, but this is the distinctive face of the God of Israel. With Abraham, the people of Israel began a long journey of listening to the voice of the one true God and sorting out this voice from all the other voices surrounding them. In these early generations, the voice of God was deeply intermingled with the voice of the dominant cultures around them, and it was very hard to sort out. Some of the religions in the area around where Abraham would have lived practiced child sacrifice. It wasn't a particularly common practice, but it would have been familiar to them as an idea, familiar as the sacrifice considered to be the ultimate sacrifice that one could make to please or to appease a god. They believed that the gift of one's own child was the greatest gift that one could offer a deity. At this time in history, children were not yet considered to be persons in their own right, with rights and freedom of choice. They were considered to be the most precious property of their parents. It's hard for us to grasp today, but it was a common assumption at the time. And in that context, it's understandable that Abraham would have intuited that the one true God he was coming to know would also be pleased by such a practice. Perhaps he too was trying to separate out the voice of God from other voices that would have been present around him, which said human sacrifice was normal, and in certain circumstances, even expected. When the Jewish people were first writing down their ancient stories to form the Bible, some of their neighbors still occasionally practiced sacrifice, but they did not. They only sacrificed animals in their temple. And some of their neighbors would wonder, why? Don't you love your God? And so for them, it was important to write down the story to explain why they did not sacrifice children. And they remembered that when their forefather Abraham had been about to sacrifice Isaac, a voice from the heavens told him, no, do not do it. And instead, Abraham offered an animal, a ram, in his child's place. For those descendants of Abraham who had come to know the face of God ever more clearly over the generations, the point of recording this story was not so much about why Abraham might even think of sacrificing his child, but about why Abraham and his descendants to this day do not sacrifice their children. For us as Christians, we believe that the truest, clearest face of the one true God finally emerged fully from the shadows of history in the person of Jesus Christ. And the God we have come to know is a God of life and only of life, a God who never asks one to kill, a God who abhors child sacrifice, and indeed all forms of violence. And should one hear such a suggestion to do any sort of violence today, it is very clear to us that whatever that voice is, it is not the voice of the God we have come to know. Let's admit, though, that to this day we still struggle to sort out the voice of God from the voice of our surrounding culture. It's hard to always know what God wants, what God asks. And just like Abraham and his descendants, we need to listen hard and discern deeply. It's tempting to jump quickly to conclusions about God's will and think we've understood it. Alongside Jews and Muslims and all those around the world who truly seek to know God's face and recognize God's voice, let us humbly acknowledge our challenge and ask God's help in our ongoing, ageless work of discernment, until that day when we truly meet God face to face.